What is going down, everyone? It's time for Mojo Break the Hype, episode number 149. It's a juicy episode. We've got lots of topics to talk about. We're going to talk about PSA doing us dirty. Just doing us dirty. He's kicking us in the nuts. We're also going to talk about Luis Robert and his cards and the early Topps Chrome stuff. And we're going to talk about some Topps offering some IPOs on a product. Kind of interesting. Kind of an interesting business concept. So we're going to do that today. Dan, what's going down? How you doing?
This is actually, this is 149, right?
149.5.
Yeah. Right in the middle there. I'm good. Drinking some booch. I actually don't know where to even start now. Because you went through the whole spiel again. I feel like, do I go over what I just talked about? Do I talk about C-Red's mask? Do I?
It was radio gold. But you can relive it again.
I'm good. Let's go to C-Red.
C-Red, how's that mask treating you still?
Panini mask. I need a sponsorship. Thank you, Panini.
Yeah, but we're like we were saying, you could cut these masks up and do COVID Breaker Edition relics. Put them in national packs. Better yet, the guys on Hard Knocks wearing masks. Maybe that's a new memorabilia product. All logo mans on one mask. All shields on one mask. I don't know. I don't want to give them any good ideas. But you may see it. You may see it. Obviously, they should wash them first. We're going to jump right into Topps Chrome. It just released 2020 Topps Chrome Baseball. And there's a way for you to win a box later in this segment. So pay attention on how you can win a box of 2020 Topps Chrome. But the name that's headlining the whole thing right now is Luis Robert. You can call him Robert. You can call him Robert. He's okay with either one. He said his countrymen call him Robert. The USA folks call him Robert, and he's fine with whatever. He actually doesn't like Louis Bobby, which we've been calling him. But anyways.
I knew it was Robert, dude. Like, I felt like when people were like I heard of people on TV call him Louis Robert. I was like, that's right. But I've been saying Robert like for the past 2 years, bro.
I know. So have we. And then we did the Lou Bob. We've done different variations. Well, let's look at a couple of his top Chrome sales initially. So the base are trending. This is a base card out of Topps Chrome, just base rookie. They're trending around $41. The insert is trending around $33. Now, this is initially, so expect when more hit the market, this will probably trend down a little bit. Does this price surprise you guys out there? Did you think it was going to be more? Did you think it was going to be less? We want to know. Dan, what do you think?
Is that the base
of
the fracture?
Out of the gate, it's pretty much where I thought it was going to be. Obviously, because if you watch our earlier broadcast today when we were doing Topps Chrome, Doug did a little quiz. He's like, how much you think a raw Luis Robert is going for right now? And I'm like, $40. He's like, you're pretty close. Well, I wasn't pretty close. I was pretty much dead on.
Oh, you were on the back.
I was $1 off. I mean, I do this for a living, guys.
Card King Dan.
Yeah, well.
Otherwise known as Hot Hand Dan on the feed.
There's a lot. I got a lot of names.
Or Topps, if you want to send me a Topps mask, I could get a sponsor from you guys too.
Or it could be like the A's Giants when they had the World Series in 89. You could have one side Panini, one side Topps.
Since we're talking about Topps, you know,
we can talk about what we were talking last week with like, do you know any Bay Area fans, since we're all in the Bay Area, who are truly Raider and Niner fans?
No.
Is that that's not a thing, right?
No.
But you do see it a little bit with the A's
with
Giants.
baseball
like remember like, back in the 89 World Series. Yeah, I remember like it was yesterday, but with the split hats.
Yeah,
that was a thing. And I've never seen a split hat Niners Raiders,
but you see
what, and I would love it. I don't really care about either one of those.
I would
give that guy a round of applause there.
But you know what? They did have the great equalizer. So they had the split on the hat, A's, Giants, but the bill was one color, and that was your true alliance. So it was either an orange bill or a yellow bill.
Okay.
So that tells you that you like the A's, but you're more of a Giants
fan.
Pretty
sure you just made that up.
No, it's true. Google it.
The only reason I brought it up last week is because we have a customer. And he's from Chicago, and he's both a White Sox and Cubs fan. So
fighting words right there. what about if you're from LA? Can you be a Lakers and a Clippers fan? You see a lot of crossover.
Well, there can't be a whole lot of Clippers fans, and the ones that the Clippers fans now have tags hanging from their hats, like they just bought it yesterday. So, I mean, the Clippers were pretty much a laughingstock for a while until they, you dude, know, they changed they, ownership.
No, there
they
was,
signed
there
a
was
few
a couple
guys.
Of years there where they were solid. They had
well, you could look at the 60s, 70s,
no,
80s.
No, I'm talking about like recently. They beat the Warriors in the playoffs.
Yeah, with Chris Paul and Blake.
Blake and DeAndre Jordan.
Yep, yep.
We own their souls, though. The Warriors, own a
Clippers. All right, back to the Topps Chrome.
Great product.
So I wanted to analyze his first Bowman. So his first Bowman is in 2018. So 2018 Bowman Chrome is Luis Robert's first card. So a base Chrome sells for around $63, right? So then you could see I wanted to go over some sales of the autograph version. So a Topps Chrome Refractor Auto, which is live, sold for $791 recently. So this is out of the brand new 2020 Topps Chrome. A Refractor PSA 10, first Bowman, 2018, sold for $2,500. So here's how you guys can enter in and win a free box. We're going to play a little game called Would You Rather. So would you rather have three Luis Robert 2020 Topps Chrome Refractors to $499? Or would you rather have one PSA 10 Bowman Chrome refractor? What would you rather have? I want it, and this is how you're going to do it. You're going to go on to Mojo Break Media, put your response, say why, which way you'd go. You'd rather have the three Chrome refractors, or you'd rather have the one Bowman first grade of PSA 10? Because the money adds up to about the same, right? So what would you rather have? I want to know. So enter your responses in on our Mojo Break Media version of this video. If you're watching live, just wait for it to upload. If you're watching this on the Mojo Break Media channel, please comment below, and we're going to pick a winner. Somebody's going to win a 2020 Topps Chrome box. So check that out. So I want to start with Dan. What would you rather have?
I'm going to go with quality over quantity.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the first Bowman, the Prospect Auto.
Okay. The PSA 10.
The PSA 10.
Him sitting at the podium with the Dasani water.
It's going to be the card that everybody... That's going to be the card that you want.
All right. C-Rad, what do you think?
I guess I'll go quantity over quality in this case because, you know, the way the market's going, if you have three of these bad boys, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Like sell you can, two, keep one?
Yeah, you could technically have a free one if he blows up the way people believe he will, if he's the next Michael Jordan Trout. You know what I mean?
Or you could sell two and buy one of the Bowmans.
Exactly.
Maybe. But then that one would go up
that,
too.
That one would be obviously go up
so,
too as well. But.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a Bowman guy, so I would pick the Bowman over the Chrome. But, you know, some people like to have quantity over quality, right? So there is definitely is a room for having those three. So interested to see what your guys' response is. And maybe a little extra credit for those that maybe write a detailed response, not just say, I want the Chromes or I want the Bowman or blah, blah, blah. You know, maybe put a little detail response. We want to know. We can actually maybe bring those comments on the show next week. So I wanted to jump into this. I don't know if you guys, the guys sitting next to me, have heard about this. There's a company called Rally Road, okay?
You're going to say there's a company called Topps.
There's a company called Topps. Have you heard of them? So what they do is they take an expensive collectible and they offer it via stocks. So Topps is jumping in on this game. So they're offering these Series 1 and Series 2 complete sets. There's only 12 of them made. And Rally Road is offering 10 of them as one initial stock offering. So if you go on their website, they're valuing 10 sets at $100,000. So basically that breaks down to $10,000 a set. So each set is numbered to 12 or less. You get all the cards. They're going to have a stamp on them signifying that they're the first edition of the product, right? So there's only 12 complete sets in the world. There's 10 being offered as this initial IPO. So how this works is you could buy a piece of the case for $10. So you basically buy it for $10. The limit on this one is 10%. So you can't buy more than 1,000 shares. So, but if you buy 1,000 shares, you technically own one set, right? Because there's 10 sets in this initial public offering. So what happens is after that, it's bought up, and then people can openly trade this like stock. So it's a very interesting dynamic that I'm probably doing a horrible job of explaining. So if you want to check it out, you could download the Rally Road app. They're not just doing sports cards. They're doing cars. They're doing video games. They're doing all kinds of stuff. But Topps is jumping in on this. And so you could basically, let's just say you bought For example, you bought the 1,000 shares at you dropped $10,000. If this becomes in demand, it goes up. You could start trading your shares as like a stock for more than $10 a share and make a profit with actually not even having a piece of the product. So there'll be other people coming in making offers on owning this piece of the product.
Yeah, I don't know why you're looking at me.
Because the look on your face.
Look on my face.
I'm trying to digest what you're
thinking. Yeah, because I don't get it.
Break it down in the ladies.
I don't understand. But I don't want you to go through that again. Please.
Okay.
don't do it.
So yeah,
I kind of get it. Every time you say, what's the company again?
Rally Road.
Every time you say that, I the song Old Town Road's playing in my head. The Billy Ray Cyrus song. Every time you say it, I'm like, oh yeah, but no.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse to the rally road.
That's the only thing I heard during your whole segment. Wow, was that song?
So I was like Charlie Brown, like womp womp, and it was
yeah.
Just like
and
Old
then
Town
then
road
I heard then I heard like I heard $100,000. I heard that it was like womp 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 $100,000, and then just the song again.
Oh okay.
Cool idea.
So in a nutshell. You don't actually own the product. You're crowdsourcing a $100,000 valued item. 10 sets. There was only 10 of them made. So there's going to be a Louis Robert.
Do you get the physical set?
No.
No.
Okay, nobody gets anything.
Nobody gets anything.
No.
Where does it go?
They hold it, basically. And then you have a document saying that you have a share.
So what if I buy $10,000 worth? Do I get one set?
No, you don't. It's you just have...
Jesus. So if I buy $100,000 worth and I have all of it.
You can. It caps at 10%.
Okay. So if I have 10%, I don't get anything.
You don't get anything. But if other people, the other 90% of the stock is selling at a higher clip, then yours is valued higher.
I get it. But at what point can I get the cards?
You can't. You're owning a share of the card.
Where do the cards go?
They basically hold them.
For how long?
Collateral. I don't know.
Forever?
Forever. Until maybe they sell it. You have to look. I'm promoting this company, Rally Road. So, but they're also doing it with a 85 NES Super Mario Brothers coming soon. So a graded, sealed, graded A-minus Mario Brothers, which is valued at $150,000. So you can do the same thing. You could own a piece of Super Mario Brothers.
I'm not going to do it again. I'm not.
What are people in the chat saying? Am I confusing people in the chat as much as I'm confusing Dan?
The chat's blowing up. They're like, what did Doug just say?
Kelp says, sounds kind of like Panini.
I have no
blockchain.
Sounds like Panini. Yeah, basically where it's the physical asset is at Rally Road, but it's just an interesting concept. I'm not saying it's a good concept. I don't know how the top sets are valued at $10,000 a piece.
But my thing is that it's a good point in the chat. Like when you have stocks, I can sell the stocks for money.
Yes, that's what you can do.
I can do here.
Yes,
but I could also. I is there like a dividend that's on it? Like if it goes up, do I get X amount back?
That's something that maybe we need to get Rally Road on the show to find out. But
we're banking on items to go up in price the same way that
what if they go? What if it goes
price?
Down?
Then you
take
lose
a hit.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah,
just like a regular stock.
Just like a stock.
And again, it's only it's 10 sets of series. One and series two?
They're all in one, yeah. So it's and then they have five different variations.
And they just go into a vault at Old Town Road?
Yeah. Old Town Rally Road. But like let's just say a customer comes in and they want that same share you own for $20. Now you're able to basically flip it. Just like you would a stock.
To somebody else who wants to get in.
To wants to get in to own it. Yes.
To wants to get in to own a piece of it. But
correct.
They don't actually get anything.
Correct. Yeah. So
at least with blockchain though, you actually get a digital image
off of the
this you don't even get a digital image. You get told that supposedly somebody has your card somewhere, but you can't see them.
They're not
or look at them or do anything.
It's the same. You have to think of it the same thing as you have Amazon stock. Do you physically have anything? No,
I mean,
you don't.
I mean, what if there is no physical cards? Because you never can get them anyway, so they can just say they're making these.
Right.
And then, like, oh, it's in the safe here, but there's nothing in the safe.
Right.
We just sold you
air. I'm sure they're going to have a video, and I'm sure there's more to it than that. Like, maybe eventually if they sell it, they cash people out. Maybe if you know, maybe if 90% of the people agree to sign. I don't know. There's probably disclosures you got to read.
Okay, so
I
went on the app today. We got to figure out how to do a break of this.
Yeah, stop. We don't even have to ship anything. We just transfer ownership. But they did sell a LeBron 03 UD Exquisite Collection LeBron James. It got funded, so there was 123 investors that invested in it at $34,000. So when they offered it, they valued it at $34,000.
See,
so
now this is starting to make sense now.
Right. So
one card?
It's one card, and there's 123 people that own it.
And then say one day that card is worth $1.8 million. The 123 people that invested it now have, whatever split they have.
I get that, but nobody – the card will never leave the hands of Rally Road.
Correct. But do we know that for sure? Like, say, for example, the Rally Road is selling that Mario game. They have the physical game graded or whatever, and whatever value it is at currently, it'll be whatever is valued at. Do we know that, like, if that game goes up by $100,000 in 10 years, like, they're just never going to sell it? They're just like, oh, it's worth $100,000 more now. How do we know if they don't actually sell it to somebody?
Right. I mean, I guess I'm assuming the people that want to get in on it maybe make offers. So if there's somebody that's willing to pay.
Oh, like they know that, okay, this game is worth $100,000 more now. Let me try to get a share of this.
Right. Yeah, because then maybe in 10 years it goes up even more and there's more people that want to crowdsource.
So the LeBron one, that one makes.
Right. You're dealing with one card. It makes a little bit more sense. So I clicked on to try to grab a piece of it, but it had already been sold. So this was the notice that came up. It says, the initial offering for this asset is now complete. That means this asset is closed to new investors until the first trading window, which usually occurs within 90 days of the official initial offerings close. Check back soon to view the trading calendar for this asset. So at some point, it opens back up and people are offering to have a piece of this asset.
We are losing our minds. We are absolutely, like, this is... This is the tippy top of, like, absolute craziness
it's,
now.
If anything, it's this company, Rally World, it's them, like, figure out a way to just make more money.
Well, it's taking what it's actually similar in a sense from – it's just crowdsourcing.
No, we're buying nothing now. Now we're
you
buying
You have
nothing.
A certificate that says that you own a piece of that. That card will not be able to be sold without you getting your money back. Or whatever happens to the market with it.
The only thing
– I'm not saying it's a good idea. I just thought it was
interesting. If you want to invest in stocks. Invest in mutual funds. Like, this is, I think, what the sports card industry is trying to get into that sector. And I don't think that – that's not the hobby's lane.
And that's where I thought that it was interesting that Topps jumped in. Like, these initial cards, they may have just been bought by Rally Road or bought by one guy that gave it to Rally Road.
So that means
Topps is getting involved. And if you remember at the Million Card Giveaway, somebody won one of those sets, remember, for collating the whole set? So that's why there's 12 available, 12 made, and there's only 10 on their site. So there was one given away, and I don't know where the other one went.
So somebody actually owns
that. Somebody actually owns that. And now they're saying, and this is where I'm struggling to see, is they're valuing each set at 10 grand. So... 752 cards or whatever it is, series one, series two, they're stamped to 12. They're valuing that set at 10K, which I have a problem seeing.
But those cards will never be in circulation.
Nobody, you shouldn't open it, right?
Well, there's never
the
any
one person
opportunity
that,
for it to be in circulation.
There's the one person that physically owns one, though.
Yeah, and I think it was one of the breakers, right? Or
yeah, it was one of the breakers.
One of the breakers. I think that was the same one. I'll have to do some research to see if that's the same one, but... we're going to move along. We're going to talk. We're going to do an update on Mark Wahlberg. He's still making his rounds on Panini's website, doing more box breaks with his kids. They're at Cardboys on Twitter, I believe. And it's caused kind of a conversation on both sides of the equation. And I wanted to go over some funny responses to the latest Mark Wahlberg. OC Sports Card says, I wish I could get thousands of dollars of free product. What's the difference between me and them? So I'll go ahead and show you the difference. OC Sports Cards has 71 followers, and Mark Wahlberg has 15.7 million followers. Right there is
the
difference.
That's a big difference,
buddy.
That's
the biggest difference. Now you're talking about what's the difference of him being a human and me being a human? You're equal. But if you want to talk about power on the internet, you got Mark Wahlberg. If Panini sent everybody that has 71 followers $1,000 in product, they'd be out of business in a second. And then you have some other comments of some WBs. That's great. Panini America gave Mark Wahlberg cases of product, and they sell it direct to us on your website for $900. Thanks for everything. And then, so I guess the reason that card stores can't get product, you're selling it to all people like them. And then we had
I got 7 followers.
You should get a box. Yeah. And then there was a guy named Crad6.5 that said, awesome to see celebs and their kids get in the hobby. Heart, fire, 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 fire. Some guy I know. I think that name sounds familiar. What do you think, Crad?
I think that...
Man, that guy has... It just wants to be positive sometimes.
He gets it, huh?
And he has heartburn. Yeah.
That was pretty good. That was pretty quick.
That guy's pretty positive, man. Like, we need someone down on the internet sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, we got an email about possibly, you know, would we be interested in giving the great Mark Wahlberg some product in exchange for maybe a little, you know, Instagram post, maybe a little tweet saying, check out Mojo Break. So we had a very, very, very long discussion in the heat. We were sweating. It almost came to blows. And we recorded the meeting, so we'll let you guys see it. All right, let's see what's going on with the emails. Make sure people are getting some break spots, checking out the podcast. Dirk Diggler chronicles boxes for my boys. Is that the Dirk Diggler? How many followers does this guy have? Dan! Going on, dude. We got this email, man. We got this email from Dirk Diggler.
We get a lot of emails. What's up?
From Dirk Diggler.
Dirk Diggler.
You know, the movie star.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Funky Bunch guy.
Yeah, the underwear model. The underwear model.
Okay.
But
okay.
Anyways, dude.
What's he looking to do?
Check this out, man. So his kids are getting involved in breaks. They were out there breaking some chronicles.
Oh, of course. Everybody's getting into breaks.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's already 400 or 500 new ones today anyway. But they want to break some chronicles. So this is my thought, dude. I know we don't have many cases left, and I know we had to, you know, fight tooth and nail from the distributors to get this stuff. But I want to send this to them, and I want to have them break it for free.
For free?
For free.
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. Like, we got to keep that for our customers.
Dude, he's got 15.6. You're not listening to me.
Yeah, but you can't leave 900% margin on the table, bro.
But dude, 15.6 million followers.
Well, how many do we have?
8,000.
Huh. Yeah, I don't like the optics. I don't like the optics from...
The optics from what?
The optics of the consumer of our community. Don't you care about the collecting community? Are you just all about the clout? So is that what you're looking for?
Are you trying to say that you're going to try to give it to Sports Card Nutsack, who has 7 followers? Like, why would that even matter? Like, this guy's not going to be able to promote our brand.
That's not a right. That's not a breaking company.
No, it's one of our followers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that guy.
Dude, you know my favorite place is Wahlburgers. You know I love cheeseburgers. You know, the other side of this is actually gaining free cheeseburgers. Like, maybe that this will be such a big hit. Let's just say that nobody pays attention to our videos, but we get free Wahlburgers for life, bro. Like, you know what I mean?
Is that worked into the deal? And I think about when you say free. It's a $12,000 cheeseburger.
It's such a good vibration. It's such a sweet sensation.
All right, obviously, you don't know his catalog and what he's actually known for, because he's known for the movie Rockstar. Mm. And it's Stand Up and Shout! That song. All right, I'm making an executive decision. We are not going to send this case to him. We are going to basically keep it, make the money on it, and send it and sell it to our customers, because that's what we're in the business of doing. I'm not gonna go after followers. I don't give a shit about that. We're in the business of selling sports cards.
It's such a good vibration. Such a sweet sensation. All right. Well, as you can see, that was an utter failure of trying, maybe in a video, but maybe utter failure of trying to come to a meeting of the minds. And that's what you're seeing on Instagram is like, hey, people for the hobby, there's people that want to use that as marketing dollars. But fun little segment. Obviously, I could sing better than I portrayed in the video. Actually, I don't think Dan can sing any better. That was, man, that vibrato was right there. Want to talk about failures. We're going to jump right into the PSA fail. PSA did us dirty. They did us dirty, man. And I'll tell you why. And so basically, we had a really, really awesome opportunity of meeting the great Tom Petty. We actually got to hang out with him, watch Warrior Game 7 when they lost to the Cavs, which wasn't as hard to watch when we were hanging out with Tom Petty. So we spent about 2 hours with him watching the game. And then we had backstage passes at the Great Fillmore in San Francisco, which is an iconic place of music. It's got Jimi Hendrix played there, The Doors. It's iconic. So we were able to watch the concert backstage. So after the show, Dan had a pick guard, and at the time, Dan owned a music store. And he asked Tom if he could sign this for him, and, you know, Dan could have it up in his music store. So as you can see, he signed it, drew a little picture of a guy smoking. Maybe it's himself. I don't know. Wrote the music shop, signed it, Tom Petty, boom, awesome little piece. The next slide, you can actually see us hanging out with the great Tom Petty, taking a picture with him.
Allegedly.
And then we even have footage of us filming the show from the balcony. It was actually Mudcrutch. They were doing a cover of a great Bob Dylan song. So as you can see, we sent it into PSA DNA, and they said not authentic.
You guys weren't there.
Not authentic. So we paid them $300 to send in two items. One item we sent was a Shaq Kobe ball, which we did not know if it was authentic, so whatever. This one, unless we dreamt it, unless this video was just curated, like we just had a stand-in for Tom Petty, they basically said that several factors became apparent during our examination that prevented us from certifying this autograph. They are as follow: atypical letter slant angle and or pitch, excessive pen pressure and or improper shading, irregular letter shape and or formation, irregular spacing between letters, lack spontaneity, rhythm, conviction and or movement, poor line quality and transition between connective strokes, sizing of letters disappropriated, exaggerated and undersized. So we never planned on selling it, but because it's something that's going to, you know, be awesome for us to hold on for the rest of our lives, never plan on selling it. But this makes me question the whole process. I know they have to examine these things and make decisions, and there is a lot of fraud and forgery going out there. But we know that this happened. We know that we had Tom Petty sign this for us, and they basically said no. So they took our $300. It was $150, I think, for each, or maybe it was $200 for the Shaq Kobe and $100 for the Tom Petty. $300, they sent us our items back with nothing. This is all we got back for our money. So Joe Orlando apparently signs every single one of these, which I don't know what shape his hand is at this point. But
hey, look at this.
But, you know, so my point is you got to question this. PSA DNA is one of the number one authenticators, probably the number one. PSA, JSA, Beckett are probably the big three when it comes to authenticating memorabilia, authenticating autographs. But this is an item that we know is legit, and it did not pass. So I know there's other stories out there like ours, but it just makes you question the whole process. Now, if we were this was our first authentication submission. So if we were a dealer that was submitting autographs for the last 10 years, would we get it? I don't know. So I want to hear you guys' thoughts in the chat about this, and does this concern you if you have an item that you're thinking about sending in?
So it brings up tons of question marks with the authentication service that they provide. You missed one here. A 8 is a generic copy and paste answer when you have no idea what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's on there as well.
Yeah.
Signed Joe Orlando. One other thing is that this was done in one day. I didn't pay for any overnight service. I paid for the general 30-day turnaround, and I had already had an email within one day of them receiving it. So everybody talks about how obviously their card sector and the authentication sector are probably run as two different businesses, and the card grading is probably stacked up and super backlogged. But obviously the authentication service is
not
quick money, and I mean quick money. It was done in a day and sent back to us. I actually had it sent to LA and back within 1 week with a John Deere letter saying, sorry, bro, maybe next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
what's up with that?
Yeah, a useless company. Absolutely. And I don't care. I don't, like, I know that's legit. Like you were saying, we were never going to sell it. But Aaron has a point. Maybe we dreamt it. Maybe we were all having, like, a lucid dream when we were all physically in each other. Me, you, and TJ were in each other's dreams. And we were I had a couple silver sodas. So I don't know. Maybe I was a little buzzed up. But I remember that. I know he signed that because I remember very specifically that I was told that he didn't want to sign. He doesn't sign pick guards.
Right.
He signs everything else but pick guards. I didn't know that. Brought in a pick guard. Little conversation. Then he basically signed it. Not only did he sign it, but he also drew himself smoking weed.
Well, right there. That's an allegation. I don't know. Could be a cigarette.
And then the story's better with it. We're in California, man. It's
not as touchy anymore.
No, it's not touchy at all. You can go to the store. Just
Dan, you don't have to live like a refugee, Kelp says.
But, I mean,
it's heartbreaking.
I want to know, has anybody had an experience with PSA's authentication service where you either had the same thing happen or they said they certified it and it was legit? Are they cracking down? Do they need to know it needs to come from one of their regular dealers that they deal with? And they make enough money authenticating those companies.
It doesn't matter, though. They've still got our money, regardless if they give it to us.
Yeah,
it
doesn't. Yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. But they screwed up on this. They are wrong.
Well, we were aware of
it. I don't think it was Joe doing this one. I think he probably passes it off to, like, Bill or Jim or somebody like that. It probably wasn't Joe, but they screwed that one up.
Yeah, I mean, there's people in the chat saying his buddy got the same letter for a Green Day guitar and a T-shirt that he got in person. We got Steven saying it happens often with friends playing in the NHL. Quickly signed, and their auto doesn't look like their traditional one. Is it still real? No? Question mark. And, you know, and I know it's at the end of the day, it's a judgment call, and I guess you can look at it like maybe they don't pass away. They don't pass through everything, and maybe there's like an algorithm to it. Maybe they gave too many Tom Petty's. I can't believe there's that many Tom Petty's getting sent through authentication.
My issue is how quick it was done.
Right.
It almost seems like they got it and they're all, yeah, we can't do that one.
Yeah, he drew a guy smoking a cigarette.
Actually,
yeah, would you forge something like that? I mean, if you were going to forge Tom Petty's autograph,
would it just be the autograph? Would I personally inscribe a defunct music store in San Jose, California, if I was going to make a fake signature?
No.
Would I go that far? Would I?
No. No.
Apparently, I would.
Now, is there a way for you to send in the proof that you are with them? I mean, I guess that could be counterfeit as well. You could steal somebody else's photo, so maybe they don't go by that. I mean, obviously, you just fill something out on the website or you fill out this form, you send it to them, and then this is what happens, but you would think if there's one guy that looks at it, right? I don't know the process because I haven't been privy to the process. But I would, if I was running an authentication process, especially if I'm charging $100 for an item. All right, if one guy doesn't think that's legit,
it needs to go to somebody.
It needs to go to another guy. Yeah. And then if those guys if one guy says yes, one guy says no, then maybe a third guy comes in.
Yeah, but now
it's probably just one guy.
Now your cost, it's costing way too much money.
Right.
Now you're getting everybody involved.
That's true.
So it is more cost effective to basically have one person look at it And I guess he is trained if he has any doubt. And we don't know how it works. Maybe his desk that day, he had 50 items. And he was told, you got to get through these 50 items in 8 hours.
And it's just easy to do this.
Well,
it's going
to be a lot easier to be like, all right, copy and paste. No. I'll give 10 of these items a go. I'll give 40 of them a no-go. We're still getting paid regardless. Snake oil. I think they're selling snake oil over here.
I can't disagree. I can't disagree.
Why would you? You can't. Prove to me. Prove to me, PSA.
Yeah, and I would, like I would say, like we were saying before, I'd like to know the...
And your slabs look like shit.
I do like, I like PSA slabs. But I would like to know, like, is there, like, let's just say Brian Gray does a lot of authentication. Now he has his own authentication. He uses Beckett mostly, but let's say Brian Gray submits it. Does he have more of like a 90% pass-through rate? You know, there's got to be something like that. Well, this guy always gives me authentic autographs, so I'm not even going to really research it as much. This guy sends in 500 of these a week, and you know what? I'm sure it's legit, so I'm gonna do this one. But this guy, Doug and Dan, it's Dan's first order. It's probably not legit. It's just easy for me to copy and paste.
And how many Tom Petty autographs are they having come through to reference? Probably not a lot.
He doesn't sign a lot.
He does not sign a lot. He had a cut auto in Transcendent, which obviously Topps certified. I don't think they sent the PSA. They wouldn't have been, if even if they did, they would have been like, no, it's not legit because we don't do those. I want to know what they used as reference. Do they have Tom Petty's autograph on file, pictures of it where they can compare it?
They said, when I remember sitting through at one of the summits, I can't remember what year, I believe it was either Joe Orlando or James Spence, one of those guys, that they basically have a portfolio of autographs, of examples of autographs, and they can go through, probably on a computer now, but they can go through and they can look at the file and they can see which ones are legit. So, but does that make up for, like, look at Kobe. Kobe signed rookie year different than he signs now. So did they have a Tom Petty autograph from the 70s they were looking at? Did they have a Tom Petty autograph from the 80s? This was how many years ago? Three or four years ago?
How many athletes do we see that their autograph is different on different items?
Right.
He would sign this differently than he would probably sign an 8x10 photo.
Correct.
Or a guitar.
Yep.
Or like a concert t-shirt or something like that. Players, they sign stickers different than they do on card. Or they sign... Look at Giannis's auto has changed.
Yep, big time.
Bryce Harper, another one. His autograph changed.
And Dave says that too. Look, how do they know the one that they compare it to is legit as well, right? So maybe the original one.
Is it safe to say that anybody can be an authenticator? Because nobody really knows.
So
unless Joe Orlando was drinking some silver sodas with us at the show and saw us get it done, he would never, nobody at PSA would have any idea if it is legit.
Right.
So they are basically flipping through a picture book of autographs and then comparing it. And that is the end all be all in our industry for authentication. Come on.
Gotta be better, right? Gotta be better. Now, I just couldn't wait to do the segment. I wanted to send it to Beckett first to see what happened and then do the story. So maybe Beckett probably doesn't watch it, so we'll probably still do it and they won't know. And we'll see if it comes back legit from Beckett. Because that's something to think about, like what's going on. Or JSA, maybe we'll use JSA, James Spence. We'll send it to them and we'll see what happens. But it's almost like it's a lottery. You they just flip a coin and legit. No, tails is legit and heads is fake.
Did they random.org or authentication?
I think that's what I'm trying to say. Random.org? Yeah, random.org. We lost on both.
Do they have a yes no magic eight ball that they just shake?
That's how they decide.
Is that the skill? Is that the authentication we're looking at? Just shake the magic eight ball? Or, oh no, sorry.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Send the John Deere letter.
But you got to think the John Deere letter.
Actually, do you get a letter if it passes? Do you get like a great job?
No, it has. You've seen them with other memorabilia.
I don't know. I don't think so. Yes. I haven't seen them. They don't give them out.
They don't give them out.
Man, you know what? I'm going to start an authentication company. You down, C-Rad?
You know I'm down. C-Rad 6.5, Conrad Grading Service.
Grading Service, baby. Well, we've got a few more minutes before we got to jump into some breaks, and I didn't have any slides for this, but I wanted to talk about three guys in the bubble for the NBA that who would you invest in if given the choice of these three players? And because we were talking about it off air, so between Damian Lillard, Jason Tatum, and Devin Booker, I want to know if you had, and let's just say money's not an issue, but you want to get a card that you think is going to be a long-term investment, which of those three guys are you going to invest in? And let's see, Rad. Let's hear your take. I know you have a partial heart for one of the guys.
I have a big partial. I'm going Damian Lillard all day. And those, you know, that break with us know that was going to be my answer regardless. The only thing I would say that holds Dame back, and I do think the Portland Trailblazers, when healthy, are a legit scary team, you know what I mean, Western Conference. But the only thing that could possibly hold him back is the fact that he's such a loyal person. He's from obviously he grew up in Oakland. You know, his story is a great one where he went to a college that nobody even heard of, got drafted pretty high, right? So he's a very loyal person, and him staying with Portland long term may potentially hurt the ceiling of his value, but the way that he's playing, man, it's pretty amazing.
That three where he took it from and then it bounced straight up and went in, and then the net didn't even move. It was ridiculous. I can't even believe he had the cojones to shoot that. Let's hear your second and third. So we know Dame's your one. So who are you doing two and three then out of those three?
Dame's always gonna be number one. Slight edge to Jason Tatum. Slight edge. Devin Booker has proven he can be, the number one option. Great scorer, obviously, had a 70-point game. Was it last season or 2 years? 2 years ago. And shown that he can play some defense now too. But Tatum, like when you just look at his physical attributes, he seems like he's more fitted to maybe have a more, I would say, maybe winning career, where his hobby value can go up because he's plays both ends of the floor.
Yep,
efficiently. So,
what do you think, Dan?
Well, I'm gonna go into the chat here, and I thought Aaron would know this. So the John, it is Dear John, but the John Deere reference comes from Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
So I was referencing Dumb and Dumber when they're in the hot tub together, and he's like, she wrote me a John Deere letter.
Yes.
Yes, it is a Dear John, but I was playing up on the Dumb and Dumber, so yeah. I called it a John Deere
letter. Which is the greatest comedy of all time.
It is absolutely the greatest comedy of all time. So absolutely agree with C-Rad with Damian Lillard. I think he is – dude, it's so hot in here. I don't even know how
you're listening,
dude. I am sweating.
I got a sweater on too.
You got a hat, sweater.
You're trying to lose some weight.
Woo! Damian Lillard, maybe one of the most dynamic players in the league right now. And if you actually, what if he played for the Lakers or like, you know,
his value would be triple right now.
The Knicks or like just a large market team. Mm-hmm. I think he gets lost in the shuffle, not only because he's in the Western Conference with all the great teams and the great players, but just on the Blazers. And the Blazers, like, are a good team. They need to put some guys around Damian Lillard to go up to that next level. Next was Tatum.
Yep. Your second?
That's my second.
And then Booker.
Booker. I think he's one of those guys. He's a great player, volume shooter. He's
got the best hair out of the three.
He's gonna score.
Always
he
has that little side.
And I'm probably gonna get bashed for this, but he kind of reminds me of a Monte Ellis in his prime, where Monte Ellis would put up a crap ton of points, but it was because the ball was in his hands every time down the court.
Or you could say Kevin Love on the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I mean, Ellis.
They would lose 60 games and he would have 40.
But Monte Ellis he'd score 30 points a game, like day in, day out. Like, but the Warriors would lose every game. Suns are definitely better than the Warriors. Warriors had one good year. They had the We Believe, but besides that, it was slim.
Well, I think I'm gonna go Tatum because I like the market that he's in. I like the talent around Tatum. I think they're still on the rise. Like, they may not do it this year, but they are built for long term. And I like that he's like, and I'm not saying the other guys aren't, but I like the way he's a student of the game more, where he's out there trying to improve in his game. He's working. You can see his YouTube videos where he's working in the offseason, playing against Embiid and stuff like that. And once again, I know the other guys are probably doing close to the same, but his fadeaway is it amazing. And the fact that he's on the Celtics, from an investment standpoint, I like Tatum better. But it's really hard to go against Lillard because of that year. It was 12-13. There really wasn't as many.
Good point.
There really wasn't as many cards made back then compared to the 17-18 season, and even compared to the 14-15 season. And one thing to keep in mind about Dame Lillard is that for the first three quarters of the whole first season he was in, he was a Leaf exclusive for autographs. He doesn't have a lot of autographs. They kind of caught up at the end, and they had him sign stuff, and they Leaf must have, you know, sold to Benini. And then you had that redemption program for Damian Lillard, where they were making his gold standard because they missed it, and they were making his crown silhouette. But those were sticker autos. I believe the only auto that's on card for Damian Lillard rookie year is the flawless base auto, not a patch. It's the only one. I think there's only like 10 of them. So that would be the reason for me to switch the scales. But for talent level wise, I think Tatum's in it for long term. And my third would be Booker. So, but I also have love for that. Like I was telling C-Rad through text yesterday, I have love for that 12-13 Prism. And I also have love for just that 12-13 season in design wise. It was a double rookie class.
Did we all just agree?
No, I said Tatum.
You said Tatum?
Yeah.
Tatum on one.
No, I just like the Celtics are a bigger market team.
Yeah.
And they're built for success.
Dude, you're telling me that, like, if you were building a team, you would rather put Jason Tatum on your team than Damian Lillard?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying if I'm looking at an investment, I'd rather have a guy on the Celtics than the Blazers.
Okay. Well, I get that, but
I do love that 17-18 design. You got Lonzo, you got De'Aaron Fox, you got Donovan Mitchell as well, and that design. I love that design for the Prism that year. I just the Celtics. It's bad, you know. You've got the arena. You've got Larry Bird. You got the history. You got all those championships. It's all you know. They're almost like, you know, hand in hand with the Red Sox. Maybe even closer to the Yankees for basketball.
But you look at the Celtics though. Like they, if Tatum has a bad game, they could still win.
Yeah.
If Lillard has a bad game, the Blazers are losing. Lillard is definitely more valuable to his team than Tatum is valuable to the Celtics.
Granted, at this point in their careers, though, Dame is the grizzled veteran. So let me ask you a question, Doug. So if Dame was on the Celtics, would you pick Damian?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's basically, it really comes down to the market, which does impact a lot when it comes to value of cards.
Yeah. Yes. When we talk about the hobby, that's one thing you guys got to keep in mind always. The market.
You know, we talk about it all the time, but then you look at teams like the Rays with Wander Franco.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, smaller market team, cards don't sell for as much. Before this year, Pelicans.
Yep.
Pelicans, exactly. They never really had a rookie that did well
before
the market.
Yeah,
then you have Zion.
You could say AD a little bit,
you
too.
You could also say, you could say the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Jaren Jackson was a top pick, and his cards weren't going through the roof.
Not like Luka, yeah.
Not like Ja.
Breaking clout chasing ... starring D&D. I don't know what that means. Am I missing something?
Well, we were. I was saying in the segment with Dirk Diggler that you were clout chasing.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't have sound on. I mean, I remember saying it.
So. No, I was the one who was saying it. I said that you're the clout chaser.
Ah.
Like when it comes to Mojo Break, you're the clout chaser.
Yeah. All three of those guys are ultra talented though, and either all three of them are right now. The way the market is going, like you can't really go wrong with either three right now. It's like, you know, whoever you like the most. You know, obviously I stand by my Oakland guys, so I'll go with Damian. But they're all very close talent-wise. And, you know, Booker and Tatum are obviously all way younger than Damian is, so they have a few years to catch up to Damian.
Yeah, and if you were to say, who would I rather, like, if with 5 seconds left in the game, who would, out of those three, no doubt it would be Damian.
Yeah, it's always Lillard.
Who would I want the ball in the hands at the three-point line? You know, that would be Lillard. But I just, you know, and I know he's loyal, but, you know, the Blazers, I mean, I feel like they're wasting his prime. I know McCollum's good, and, you know, you got Nurkic, who's been hurt and stuff like that, but
Portland, the reason why they're fighting for a playoff spot now is not because they don't have talent right now. They actually put a really good team around Damian this year. It's just they haven't been able to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Well, the issue,
health was a huge issue for them.
The issue with the Blazers, though,
they went to the Western Conference Finals last year.
The last 4 or 5 years, though, they like haven't had. They've always been that, you know, 8th, 7th, 6th,
yep,
5th spot. So they're not doing bad enough to get a top lottery pick.
Yes.
So they're not getting that guy that they can put in with Dame,
right,
who's young, who can basically put them to that next level.
Yeah, who's been there?
They're just not. They're good. They're not good enough, but they're also not bad enough to get a really good draft.
Who have they gotten? Like Anthony Simons. With the last 3 years, where they've gotten Anthony Simons.
Gary Trent is a breakout player for them right now, too.
Yeah, Gary Trent, I guess, wasn't bad. But we're talking, you're talking about, 15 and up, right, on their picks. Right?
I want to say that the Blazers have been because they've been nearly good enough, but they've been unfortunate to be playing in the Warriors dynasty era. So I feel like, especially this year's team, if you look at them and their makeup, they have what it takes. They just have to stay healthy. So that's why all day, like ESPN yesterday, all this past week, they talk about how the Lakers might be a little bit scared of Portland to have to face them in the first round if they're completely healthy.
Dude, how mad would the NBA, and I know we're running short on time, how mad would the NBA be if the Lakers got swept by the Blazers? And then, for one, there was less games with the Blazers in the bubble.
I mean,
the Lakers in the bubble, their King James is out in the first round.
We said it last year, right? The playoffs felt weird without LeBron James. This year, as Warriors fans, we feel it. We're like, dude, this weird, the Warriors not being in the playoffs. Yeah. Steph Curry not being in the playoffs.
It also feels like this season's been like 2 years, years long.
Yeah.
I feel like the season's like never ending, even though we did have about three, almost 4 months without any basketball. But it feels like this season, and it being a Warrior fan, it's just like the never ending crappy season that won't go away.
Yeah,
I'm ready. I'm ready for next year. Who knows? Like, I heard rumors that they may not start next year's season until March.
Yeah, to give the guys enough time
in
between. Well, that's the whole weird thing with me is, our fantasy football drafts. Like, what do you mean? Football starting? Like, this doesn't feel right. This whole year, obviously, this whole year is weird. But, like, my kid's going back to school. Like, wait, we're not ready for that. We're basically we got baseball in the middle of season. You got this. The whole calendar is screwed up in my head because of all the events, all the pushbacks, all that stuff. But that is it for the show. Make sure you subscribe here at Mojo Break, our main channel for breaking, and also subscribe on Mojo Break Media channel. Follow us on Twitter at MojoBreak_com and enter in on that Topps Chrome giveaway. If you just joined in what Topps Chrome giveaway? We're giving away a box of Topps Chrome Hobby. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to find out how to enter in. We talked about it in the Chrome segments on how you could enter in to win. So that is all we have for the show, but don't go nowhere. We're going to shut the feed down for a minute. We're going to jump back live. We got a full slate of breaks for today. And then Friday, we got some new releases of Elements Football and Sterling Baseball. And that is Bowman Sterling Baseball, so the prospect version of Sterling. So that's all we got for 149. We'll see you for 150. Peace out.
Peace, guys. Take care.